as a service extension to your data center session. The goal of this session is to prove creating a site-to-site VPN is very easy. And after this session, everyone should be capable of using Azure and extend their data center or own lab to Azure. I am Valérie Sirou. I'm working as a consultant for Innovative Belgium. Most of my tasks are system center related, but I'm also focusing on Azure as cloud is there to stay and will provide more and more innovative capabilities going forward from an infrastructure and platform point of view. I will start by explaining Azure Infrastructure as a Service. We can divide the type of services in Azure into three big blocks. The first one is application services, where we find websites, identities, and we only have the front-end interface of an application and have no clue where the application components are running. The second block, data services, is where we run our databases and storage, but still we are not aware of any OS or network setting. This is in the third block, where we find virtual machines, virtual network, VPN, and so on. These components are infrastructure as a service, and I'm going to explain how we can use these to extend our own data center using a VPN. In a traditional way of deploying a data center, a lot of manual work was needed. Servers needed to be placed in the server room, cables needed to be connected, switches needed to be placed and configured, and after all this was done, we could finally start installing operating systems and applications. It took a long time for these setups to complete, and if we needed to set up an additional data center, no work could be reused and the whole process needed to be restarted again. This was a time-consuming operation. Azure is changing this. There is a more service-based approach in Azure. We don't need to care about the hardware and cables anymore, so we can start deploying a lot faster. Applications, virtual machines, and virtual networks are now installed with a few mouse clicks. But there is more. In Azure, we can also automate and standardize a lot of tasks using PowerShell, SMA, and Orchestrator. It's only a matter of changing a few parameters. This is for both servers and applications. We see infrastructure as a service as an on-demand self-service. We can easily adjust deployments based on input using flexible requests. Companies can foresee standard offerings where all standards are applied in the automation. When deploying a VM, a few default tasks need to be done. You need to configure an IP address, select a host name, configure the disks, give permissions, and so on. None of these settings can be forgotten or accidentally done wrong when we automate these tasks. And all applications will be installed compliant to the company standards. Processes can also be integrated. No changes will happen without, for example, a manager's approval. And during the deployment process, everyone can be kept up to date with notifications. For my demos, I'm using a light environment. I installed a hypervisual on my surface. I deployed a VM on it and created my own Active Directory domain named my.lab. I will use this IP for my domain controller in this network, and I want to extend my own data center to Azure to reduce the load on my Surface tablet. To start, I will need my external IP address, which is this one, and in Azure, I will use the IP range for my VMs. I will also need to create site-to-site VPNs using a gateway, and I can configure this gateway on my domain controller or any other machine on my surface in the on-premise data center. All things explained in this demo will be done using the free 1 month trial of Windows Azure. So after this session, everyone can start experimenting themselves without additional cost. The first thing we need to do is create the network in Azure. There are a few options for virtual networks. We can use a virtual network that stays in the cloud only, and an on-prem environment is no requirement for virtual networks. The virtual network ensures logical isolation, and I can create subnets and private IP addresses. It's also possible to use your own DNS server, but in this scenario, there is no extension of my own on-prem data center. The virtual network can also be used as your on-premise data center extension. Extending the data center ensures we can use your on-premise services in the cloud, for example, to domain join our virtual machines in Azure. This scenario uses a point-to-site VPN to extend our data center. Another option is to use a site-to-site VPN to extend our data center. This allows a secure connection to the virtual network from anywhere. The VPN client in the Windows operating system can be used for this. A site-to-site VPN can also be used in combination with firewalls and proxies. Then another option is ExpressRoute. With ExpressRoute, you can establish connections to Azure at an ExpressRoute location or directly connect to Azure from your existing WAN network, such as MPLS VPNs provided by a network service provider. If we compare these three solutions, we can see that there are three possibilities. A point-to-site VPN connects individual machines into Azure Virtual Network. It uses the Windows VPN, and certificates are required for this configuration. A site-to-site VPN can be used to connect your on-premise network to the virtual network, and we have the option to add ExpressRoute to the site-to-site VPN. Network security groups can be used for multi-tier applications. Front-end tiers, such as web proxies and DNS servers, are placed in a DMZ that is exposed. The other tiers need a higher level of security and are isolated from this DMZ. The network security groups enable these scenarios and use access control lists to allow or deny traffic and filter the addresses. These network security groups can be associated with both VMs and subnets. The ACLs are independent of virtual machines. I will now deploy an Azure network with options for a site-to-site VPN to a new local network. So I'm logged on onto my Azure portal with the subscription for a free trial. I will click New, Network Services, Virtual Network, and use Custom Create to create my virtual network. When using Custom Create, I will receive a wizard to configure everything. We need to define a solid name for the VM. For now, I will just use IIS Webinar VNet. I will select West Europe as location because my lab will be in Belgium most of the time. I will configure my DNS server later, so I will leave this field empty for now. I'm only going to configure a site-to-site VPN, no point-to-site or ExpressRoute. I will select this to create a new local network. Now I need to enter my on-prem network data. Again, a name for the local network needs to be entered. I will use IIS Webinar On-Prem. The VPN device IP address is my external IP. Now I enter the starting IP of my local network and select and I will select 24 as my subnet. These are just the settings I configured on my on-prem network. And I continue to the next step. In the virtual network address spaces, the network settings for my Azure network need to be entered. For the starting IP, I will use 10.0.0.0 and a subnet of 8. The first subnet gets IP 10.0.1.0 as starting IP address, and I will use a subnet of 8 for this one. Oh, sorry, 8 was the one above. I will select 16 for this. Now I need to add the gateway subnet. The gateway subnet is a requirement. I will leave this as default. But you can configure your own IP requirements over here. The virtual network is now being created. While we wait for this, I will continue with my slides. There are a few considerations for the virtual network creation. As I have said, I prefer to use the custom creation option so I can use the wizards to fill in all information. A good name is also important because it's hard to change the name afterwards. The location needs to be close to where the on-premise systems are located, and you need to design your network addresses correctly to avoid conflicts. The gateway network is a requirement, and there is no netting possible. To show the virtual network is working, I'm going to create a virtual machine in Azure, and I will join it to the domain after my site-to-site VPN is completely configured. There are a few parameters I will need to enter when creating a virtual machine. The first one is a cloud service. This is a container for one or more virtual machines. You can use this for example, load balancing. The cloud service DNS name is the name we can use to access the server. The region is a physical location on a larger scale than an affinity group. When I created the virtual network, I specified West Europe as physical location for my cloud resources in the virtual network. Affinity groups are a way you can group cloud services to achieve optimal performance. It lets Azure know to keep all of the services that belong to your affinity group as physically close to each other as possible. The storage account is the location for the virtual machines, and then an availability set provides redundancy to your application. You can group two or more virtual machines in an availability set. This configuration ensures that during either a planned or unplanned maintenance event, at least one virtual machine will be available and meet the SLAs. Now we can deploy the VM in the network. Because in a later step we need to create a gateway, I will deploy the VM to a network I created earlier this morning. This network has exactly the same parameters as the one we created just now, but to ensure the demos run smoothly, I will just use the older network. Again, I go back to my Windows Azure portal. I click New, Compute, Virtual Machine, and I will select from gallery. I will use a Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center Edition for my virtual machine. I can select the version release date. I will select the latest one to have all latest Windows updates. I will name my virtual machine IIS Webinar 01 and leave the tier default. For the size of my VM, I will select A2. This will be more than sufficient for my demo. The username and password will be used for the creation of a local administrator, which can be used for local logons. I will let Azure create a new cloud service and leave the cloud service DNS name as default, which is my VM name. Now I will select the network I created this morning. It's named MyLab VNet, because again, the gateway creation for the network will take too long for the demo, and I created the gateway already for this network. I will select subnet 1 for this VM because I only created one and have no other options. The storage account will also be automatically generated and no availability sets will be used. The endpoint points, I will also leave this as default to open a remote desktop connection. I can now select additional configuration options, but I will only select to install the VM agent without the other parameters. While the creation is in progress, I will show you the configuration options for the virtual network we created in this demo. In the dashboard, you can see there is the connection to my on-premise environment is broken. I will configure this in a few moments. In the configure options, I can enter a DNS name. So for now, I will enter my domain controller, which is DC1 and has this IP address. I can add point-to-site connectivity, disable my site-to-site connectivity, or add express route. It's also possible to change the local network. Or you can add additional IP ranges or subnets to the configuration. Certificates are only needed for point-to-site VPNs, but can configure it over here. The VPN creation is still in progress, so I will continue with my slides while this process is running. For the site-to-site VPN, there is one more thing to do. We need to generate and configure the gateway. When creating a site-to-site VPN, you will specify either a static or dynamic gateway. Static routing VPNs are also referred to as policy-based VPNs. Policy-based VPNs encrypt and route packets through an interface based on a customer-defined policy. This policy is usually defined as an access list. Static routing VPNs require a dynamic routing VPN gateway. Dynamic routing VPNs are also referred to as route-based VPNs. Route-based VPNs depend on a tunnel interface specifically created for forwarding packets. Any packets arriving on the tunnel interface will be forwarded to the VPN connection. Dynamic routing VPNs require a dynamic routing VPN gateway. It's also possible to configure a high-performance gateway. This gateway is a bit more expensive as a default one, but has a better throughput and can use more site-to-site tunnels. In my demo, I will configure Windows Server 2012 as VPN device, but there are a lot more compatible VPN devices like Brocade, Cisco, Dell SonicWall, Juniper, and so on. An overview, you can find an overview in this table or on this link to the MSDN library. I will now show the process to create a gateway. For this part, I will use the virtual network I created earlier this morning. So you can, I'll just explain first the process of the gateway creation. You go back to your, this is the virtual network we created a few moments ago. To create a gateway, you just click on create gateway and you select static or dynamic routing as gateway option. Then the gateway will be generated and you can download it afterwards. The generation of a gateway will take about 15 minutes. And that's why I will go to an older virtual network where I already created the gateway. You can see my link is a bit better, but the on-premise data center is still disconnected. I also received a gateway IP address. I click on to configure my gateway on the domain controller on my on-premise environment. I will click on download VPN device script. Over here, I can select the VPN device vendor that will be used. For this demo, I use Microsoft Corporation, and I will use the RRIS platform on the Windows Server 2012 R2 operating system. I now need to download the script. The script is The script is a PowerShell script containing all configuration parameters for the VPN device. I will just make this a bit more readable. As you can see, the IP address of the gateway is referenced several times in this file. The only thing I need to do is execute this script on my domain controller, and the script will configure everything for the site-to-site VPN. So I'll just copy this one. Now I'm on my on-premise domain control and just run an elevated PowerShell command and execute the script. Now the RRAS module is being installed and all configuration is being done. This shouldn't take that long. So it's installing a few Windows features. While this script is running, I'll already start a connection to my virtual machine, which is still being created. So I also need to wait for this one. It normally shouldn't take much longer as this. It was a bit faster last time, so I think my surface is having a hard time at this moment. Sometimes the first time you run the script, it fails. And I've noticed that if you reboot the server and run the script again, it starts working. So just run the script twice if there is any issue, and normally it should be okay after that. Okay, now the configuration on the domain controller on my on-premise environment is done. I can go back to my Azure portal, and normally the connection will automatically be created in a few minutes, but to speed things up, I can click the connect button over here and it will enable the connection to my local network. So the connection has been created now. You can see there is data coming in and data going out. Also, the virtual machine I am creating is already linked to the virtual network. I can see it receives this IP address and is in the correct subnet. But I still need to wait a few moments for my virtual machine creation. I now configured the gateway on my DC because I'm running it on my surface and I have no options. I have not enough resources to run a lot of virtual machines, but of course it's not recommended to do this on a domain controller. But it's possible to do this on any machine. Okay, my virtual machine is finally created. So I go to my virtual machine page. On the dashboard, I can start a remote connection to this machine. I need to log on with the account I created during the virtual machine creation because there are no other accounts. To log on. The screen resolution is not optimal. It's the first time I'm logging on to my newly created server, so as we all know, it may take a bit longer as normally. I will now join the server to my on-premise domain, mind.lab, to prove the connection is working. So you can see I have connection to my domain and there is no problem to join the server to the domain. I will also show you the IP settings. You can see the server has an IP address in the virtual network range I created during these demos. And the DNS server is set to my domain controller. This is of course needed for the domain join. So now my server is joined to the my.lab domain and I have a network connection to my on-premise network. I am now able to extend my local data center further into Azure. So that was were the main talking points for this session. I will just give a quick recap. The things you need to do to extend your data center: you need to create an Azure virtual network and enable the site-to-site VPN. You need to define a virtual network at the Azure site and don't forget to plan the subnet needed for Gateway. You also need to provide the IP addressing space info for your on-premise data center networks. You only need to enter all IP addressing spaces for the ranges you want to be able to use in Azure over the VPN tunnel. You need to create the appropriate Azure gateway and select dynamic or static. Download the script and run it at an on-premise Windows Server 2012 R2 router. And then you can enjoy having your site-to-site VPN connectivity with Azure. So this was my session. If there are any questions, there is some time now. I went a bit faster as I thought to the slides, but it's just because it's a really simple process to extend your data center, and that was the goal of the session. So are there any questions? I only have one question in the chat window from Abby, where he asks where he can find the slide deck. The slide decks will be made available online after a few days, I think.
Yes, we will send everybody a follow-up email with the link to the deck, indeed.
Okay, Christophe is also asking if there are any options to upload sysprepped images for deployment. Yes, it's possible. I now used a default template available in Windows Azure, but you can also upload your own prepared VHDs to Azure and use these for deployment. Jochen asks what the minimum bandwidth requirements are. That depends of what you want to do with the virtual network. If there is a lot of data, the more data you will send to Azure, the more bandwidth is required. For my my lab on my surface, I don't need much data. Not much bandwidth. I'm not sure about the exact minimum bandwidth, but I can find it out for you if you would like.
And then there is another question from Pascal.
Only fixed size VHD or no?
No, it's not really a question. It's just a remark concerning the CSPREP image.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. It's only fixed size VHDs can be used for a CSPREP image. No other questions? If
yes, I see another question from Romaric.
Okay. Is there any guarantee on the bandwidth across the internet for performance? Yes, there is a minimum guaranteed bandwidth, but I don't know the numbers on the top of my head, but there are some minimum requirements. But of course, you also can put this in contact with your ESP to ensure your bandwidth from the on-premise to Azure is also guaranteed. But on the Azure end, there is certainly a guaranteed minimum bandwidth to ensure performance. I think for site-to-site VPNs, the bandwidth is around 80 megabits per second. Another question from Abby, are there specific hardware devices that will work with the site-to-site VPN? Yes, I will go back a few slides. These are the devices that will work with site-to-site VPNs. The list is extending as we speak, so I provided the URL to the MSDN page. This is updated regularly. Pascal also has a question. I noticed that there is a big difference in bandwidth in traffic towards and from Azure. Is there a throttling on for one direction? I haven't noticed that. I'm not sure if there is throttling on. Not aware of that. Romaric asks, is multiple site possible today with static gateways? Multi-site is possible, but with static gateways, yes. Yannick has a question. I noticed the Puppet Enterprise Agent option. Do you need to have a Puppet master setup and running on-premise to use this feature, or will they set up a Puppet master in Azure automatically? The agent will just install a Puppet component, but you need to have the Puppet master on-prem or Azure. You can deploy Puppet using one of the Azure templates, but it will not be set up automatically.